series, the I Am series, the seven statements of Jesus, and we saved this last one particularly for Easter because it just fits so well, it fits perfectly, and it's very, very, very important in our lives. But also, it's today's probably going to be the simplest message you ever heard in your life, okay? I really believe that. Today's story will be a story you've heard before, so if that's the case, I hope you see it with fresh eyes, okay? If you never heard this story before, I hope it just speaks to you as we get started here. So this last I Am, as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we get this from John 11, 25 through 26. If you do want to turn your Bibles today, be John 11, pretty much the whole chapter. But this is where we get the I Am statement. Jesus said to her, meaning a lady named Martha, and that'll be our story. She'll be our focus today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and life. Do you see a key word up there? You see a key word. Not I am the resurrection and life, but what's the key word to getting this promise? That even though you die, you live. What's the key word? Believe. It's up there three times, isn't it? It's a key word. So what does believe mean? We've kind of cheapened it over the years, but what does believe mean? What do we must do to get this promise? We must believe. To believe, if you look at a Bible called the Amplified Bible, it takes a word like believe and it amplifies the meaning. If you read from that Bible, it says to believe in Jesus is to trust in him, adhere to him like glue or tape, adhere to him, and cling to him. Let me give you a word picture for that, what trust is. Little Theo, he's 4 years old. They live in Bowling Green. He came up last weekend, I believe it was. And I don't really know him that great because we don't see him that often. But, I mean, he knows me, of course, and I know him. But we spent about 2 hours together, and that's kind of a lot for us. And at one point, I'm standing there, and he runs up to me. He hugs me. Of course, he's about this tall. His head comes right up to my hip. He grabs my leg. You ever had a child just grab your leg? And just, oh, it's the best feeling in the world. He said, I love you, Pop. But it's a picture of trust. As I do this to his head, like a father, like a grandfather, Pop, you know, he's adhering to me. He's clinging to me and just looking at me with a trust, a childlike faith. And as adults, as children, that's what we're to do with our father, our papa. Trust him, cling to him, rely on him. That is what the word believe is. To believe is to entrust. Entrust. Here's a definition on the screen. When we entrust something, we assign the responsibility for doing something to someone else. We give the responsibility over, okay? We trust this person or whoever it is, God, with the outcome. We're not the God of the outcome, okay? We're more in the process of things. We do our part, but he is responsible for the harvest or the outcome. We don't try to control whatever the situation is or fix it. We just assign the responsibility for doing something to someone else. Also, we put something into someone's care or protection. If you have legal issues, what do you do? What should you do? You entrust your care, your protection, the responsibility to an attorney. If you have health issues, you don't Google it and try to learn what to do. You don't get your wife or someone else to try to fix you, right? If you have medical issues, you entrust health care people. When I had this ablation done, electric problems at the heart, I entrusted my care to Dr. Richardson, right? It's like, here you go. Your responsibility. I'm trusting you with caring for my heart, my physical heart. And he did good. When I do funerals, almost every time when I close out, the very last sentence is a prayer. And here's what I pray. Father, we entrust our beloved into your loving hands. And then we're done. It's when we let go. We let go. We let go of control and we simply entrust this person into the Father's loving hands. So here's my hope for you today, all of us, wherever you are on the faith spectrum, lots of faith, no faith, wherever. I just pray that you'll proclaim, I do believe. I do trust you. And Father, I trust my life into your care, to you. I trust you with the outcome. And God, I know your love language is trust, and I'm going to love you by trusting you. All right, so let's get to our story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Many of you have heard it over and over. What are we going to have fresh eyes in, right? This is a story of Jesus' friends. We think through other stories in Scripture, they're probably really good friends. This is a place where Jesus, in all his travels, I think, we don't know for sure, but probably he would stop there. It is a safe place for him, a home where he could go and just kind of kick off the shoes and get on the couch, lay back. He had none of the demands and pressures of the world. It's just a refuge for him. So he loved his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. That's next chapter over, John 12. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, in other words, he sent back a message back to Mary and Martha. Verse 4, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through you. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet, some Bibles say so. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Pause. WTH. Jesus. What the heck? This person you love, deathly ill, you stay where you're at 2 more days. Why did you delay? You say you loved us, but yet you delayed. You waited. First, I didn't think I could relate that, but I think we all can relate that. Those of you that know that Jesus loves you, but why am I still alone? Jesus loves me, but why am I depressed? Jesus loves me, but why is my family just in trouble? He loves me, but why are prayers just not answering? They hit the wall and they come right back at me. I know he loves me, but I can't hardly breathe. Why are you waiting? I know you're the provider, but I can't even pay my rent. And the list goes on and on and on, right? Amen. That's right. Verse 7. Then he said, Jesus said to disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now, I'll stop just a second. He almost got stoned back in Judea, so this is a risk, no pun intended. He almost got killed back there. Now skip down to verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, verse 15, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So that you may believe. Key word right there. Kind of keep that in your brain. Spoiler alert real quick. Lazarus does die, but he does come back to life. Okay, just in case you wonder. All right. Verse 16. Then Thomas, also called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Great faith, I guess. They're going back to a dangerous place. Not so much great faith because, hey, it wasn't Jesus' time yet. No. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss. Again, what the heck, Jesus? You're only 2 miles away. So close, but yet so far. Maybe you can relate to that. If he'd come quickly, they had to be thinking, then you could have healed him. Verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, then my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, verse 22, even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Let's pause again. She believed in the resurrection, that one day we all rise, but she just didn't get it. If you remember verse 4, what was that? The sickness will not end to death, Jesus said. That's the message she received, her and Mary. It's for God's glory. He will not die. Okay? She received that message, but she just really didn't get it. And then in verse 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? In my Bible, I got it written out. This is the key question of life. Do you believe this? That he is the resurrection and the life. That he's got power over death. That when we entrust and believe, even though we physically die, it's 100% chance, right? We live, okay? And the second part, if we believe in him, we have this life abundant on the here and now. We go with God now. He's here. We've entrusted our care to him. He's with us now. Death is 100% sure. But when we take him as the resurrection and the life, it goes, to me, this way I look at it, death is just a transition to a higher life. Because the life with God now, though everything still comes at us, right? But it can be a lovely life, a winsome life, a good life. Okay? And death is just a transition to a higher life. And then in verse 27, Martha answers the question, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now, I'm not going to read verses 28 through 37, but I'll just kind of tell them to you. You can read them if you want. But after this encounter, Martha went back and got her sister Mary, said the teacher's here. So Mary got up, and her and a little entourage of weepers and people that were mourning, grieving, they went to meet Jesus. He was still at the city gate. Upon arrival, Mary and the people that were all around too, Mary fell at her feet and said the same thing as Martha. Jesus, if you would have been here, then my brother would not have died. In verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw this scene, what was going on, he was deeply moved and troubled. Deeply moved and troubled. And I have struggled with that comment, with this little phrase, pretty much all week, if you want to know the truth. You see, he had these deep emotions. When you look at the Greek word this for deeply moved and troubled, it's like an emotion of being almost, he's just like he was almost angry and frustrated. He had this sternness of spirit, like this rebuking. And the Greek word, when the Greeks used it, was like a word for when he snorts. Okay, it was this like strong word. And then in verse 25, he wept. He wept. Why? Why? Yes, he loved Lazarus and his family. But why was he filled with such strong emotions? Okay? Why was he deeply moved and troubled in spirit? Why? He loved him? Yes. But in verse 4, as we read, he already knew he's going to raise him to life. He already knew that. He knew the outcome already. So as I read over the story and reread over it and reread it and reread over it, I come to understand he was deeply moved and troubled because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. To me, this is the point of the whole story. How did I come to this? I focused on the red letters. You know what the red letters are? When I say that, some Bibles, like mine, when Jesus speaks, it's in red. So I literally took that story and just read the red letters and what he said. It's amazing. Amazing. Let's see. Verse 4, I spoke about that, where this is not going to end in death. Verse 15, what was it? Lazarus is dead, but for your sake, I'm glad it wasn't there so that you may believe. Verse 23, where is it? Your brother will rise again. 25, 26, I am the resurrection life. Who believes? Do you believe this? And then even verse 40 and 42, is this covered? The red letters are covered with the word believe. So I read back through the book of John. I realized that the seven miracles were done and the seven I am statements were spoken so that the people, so that you and I would believe and trust our lives into his care. That was John's purpose. You look at the end of the book twice, but I'm only going to have one instance up here. In John 20, verses 30-31, John said this in his book. He said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. life with God now, in the here and now, and life with him forevermore. Then in John 6:29, Jesus answered some people, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Who is that? Who? That is Jesus. Verse 16:9, "The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me." I believe Jesus moved to tears. He wept because of the sin of unbelief. Have you ever thought of unbelief as a sin? Seriously. Have you ever heard of that? If you think about it, really think about it, our unbelief is the root of a lot of issues, isn't it? A lot of sin means to miss the mark. Jesus, especially in John, has this mark. He wants us to believe, and our unbelief is just shooting off. We're not hitting the target. Verse 38. There we are. Jesus, once more deeply moved and troubled, he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Anybody got the King James Version Bible? What does it say? Anybody know? It's of course, it's a preacher joke. He's been in there 4 days. He, instead of odor, says he stinketh. He stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. The key phrase here, "but Lord." Well, that gets us in trouble every time, doesn't it? It's just that tinge of doubt. But Lord, she had to be thinking, "But Lord, you're too late. He's been in there 4 days. Again, you've waited too long. Didn't come when you're supposed to." I'm calling this Martha faith. We all got it. It's a faith. It's good and it's bad. It's a, you believe, you have a strong belief, but you also struggle with your belief. There's struggles. You battle with the wise. You battle to understand sometimes why God seemingly does what he does and he doesn't do what he should do, and all the list goes on. Martha faith. You believe, but as in one instance, Mark 9:24, like one guy said about healing his son to Jesus, he said, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." Sounds like old Todd Allen Camp sometimes. "I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." Martha faith. In verse 22, he's dead, and what's she say? Even now, I know you can raise him from the dead if you just ask your father. Even now, I know you can do that. And in verse 27, "I do believe that you are the Christ." I'm going to tell a story again. It's kind of a big marker in my life. Some of you heard it. I apologize. But in 2017, our first granddaughter was born in Bowling Green to Lance and Kara on my birthday, right, March 10th. But she had a little hole in her heart, and 2 months later, she went to Louisville for surgery, and she passed away about 2 weeks later. But the doctors came, golly, I thought I was fine. Every time I practiced, I was good. Doctor came to us and said, after about 2 or 3 days, they said, "We've done everything we can do. Now this little girl, all 7 pounds of her, whatever, she's got to be the one to do the fighting." So, Martha faith me. Man, I started praying. I go to the bathroom, I'd be praying. If I could sneak away, I'd pray. But I pray that even now prayer. Even now doesn't look good. Doctor's saying, "We've done all we can do. Even now, God, I know you can do it. You are the resurrection and life. You got power over death and life." I just knew it, trusted it. And then she got better. It's like, "Yeah, God, I know you're in on this." Then she got a little worse. Oh, man. Then it was like, "I do believe," just like verse 20 said, "I do believe you are the Christ, the resurrection. I do believe that. I do trust it." And up and down. And then she passed. And then I, in this Martha faith, but Lord, what the heck? Maybe you got a little Martha face. Why was I abused? Why is my husband failing me? Why is my job dead end? I mean, the list goes on and on. So we say, "But Lord," I ended up, after a struggle, entrusting my life, my care, the responsibility into his hands. Verse 40. Then Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Back in verse 4. So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me as the resurrection and the life." This miracle would be done so that we would believe in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Power over death, sin, power over life. Then verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out, stand up, arise, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus came out of that grave. He was resurrected to new life. Do you believe in the here and now that you can be resurrected to new life? Do you believe resurrection is to rise up, to stand up? Do you believe he can do that for you in the here and now? I'm going to tell a story. My little commentary guy, Bart Clay, that I read, and it's really good about this particular chapter and verse. Story of this army chaplain told that he and 1,500 Marines were coming back from Japan on a ship to come back home. And on the voyage home, a small group of men came up to him and said, "Hey, chaplain, would you like to do we'd like to do a Bible study on this long journey home?" He's like, "Yeah, can't believe it. Let's do it." So they did. Okay. And after they studied it, a Marine came to him and said this about John 11, what we just read. He said, "Everything in that chapter," he said, "is pointing at me." He went on to say that he had been in hell for the last 6 months. He had gone straight into the Marines from college. He had been sent out to Japan. He had been bored with life. And he had gone out and got into trouble, bad trouble, really bad trouble. Nobody knew about it, just him. But he knew God knew about it. He felt guilty. He felt his life was ruined. And he felt he could never face his family, although they need never know. Listen to this. He felt he had killed himself, and he was a dead man. Felt like he was a dead man, dead to God, dead to life. "And," this young Marine said, "after reading this chapter, I have come alive again. I know that this resurrection Jesus was talking about is real here and now, for he has raised me from death to life." He entrusted. Somehow, Holy Spirit of God, he read these words, and it could happen to you right now too. And it just spoke to him, and he entrusted his care, his protection. He gave God the responsibility. He was forgiven. He released it. Now, does he still have a long road ahead of him? Yeah. But when it comes to the sin and that guilt and the shame, he found Jesus as the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? He says, "I am the resurrection and life. If you believe me, then you will have life after death. You will receive your forgiveness, my grace." Do you believe this? All of us must answer this question. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and life. If you live believing in me, then you'll experience life. You'll experience me in the here and now. You'll experience things differently. Be raised to new life. Your relationships will be new. Relationship with God. You know, you've heard God's a loving Father and all this stuff, and you haven't yet received it, but, you know, if he's your resurrection and life, you experience God as a truly loving father as you entrust your care into him. In your relationship with others, that wife, that husband, that friend will change. In the relationship you have with yourself, when he is your resurrection and life, that all changes too. Do you believe me, he asks. If you struggle with your belief in Jesus as the resurrection life, will you give him today as much trust as you can? Know that Jesus is compassionate, okay? He weeps. He's troubled over us when we don't believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to entrust, to stake your very life on him. Stake your life on it. Stake it. Altar call, as we call them. Yeah. It's not a special place, although it is, because you move and you get on your knees, hopefully, and you bow down. But God's back there too. He's everywhere. But as we sing our last song, if you want to come place your life, all of you, into his care, and you want to do it down here, I can pray with you. Someone else can, or you can just do it. Come on down. Are you ready for him to be responsible for the outcome, the harvest? Are you tired of trying to fixing, planning, and, you know, can you let go of your plans and demands? Let go of control, maybe? Give it over to him. Come on down to the altar. Let him be responsible, because he is the Lord of the outcome. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a simple message, for sending Jesus in the order that we may believe and trust our life into his care, his responsibility. Just give it over to him. So I pray that we've had ears to hear and just eyes to see how much you do love us, how much you weep over our unbelief, and just that we don't get it sometimes. So help us to get it. May we lay down at this altar and just pray. Die to self. Die to the burdens that we carry. And trust our life over to you. So, Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday, for the promise of new life forevermore and for the here and now. We love you. We pray in your Son's name. We all say together, amen.